You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John. I am Sheena, and sadly, John is not with us this afternoon. He's a little bit under the weather. I'm going to take advantage of making fun of him right now, but in all honesty, I do want him to feel better, and I know it's not fun to be sick over the weekend, but I selfishly get to have two of my fabulous interns with me. Today, I have Katie and Caitlin. Ladies, would you like to say hi?
Hey everyone, I'm Caitlin Greenleaf.
And I'm Katie Webb.
And they are working with me this semester for what is called their culminating rotation. So I have just been bringing them everywhere with me. And these girls, they are definitely a lot of fun. We were driving over here to the station today, and we were talking about some different food quirks that we have. And now, Caitlin, tell us a little bit about the food quirk that you shared with us in the car on the way over to the station.
All right, so I got this from my friend Kimmy Fisenick, and she puts ketchup on her rice, and I rimmed with her my freshman year, and she got me hooked on it, so now I'll even go to a place like Chipotle, and people think that it's really strange that I do this, but I smuggle in my own ketchup packets, and I'll put ketchup on my rice bowl.
Okay, so now do you do packets, or have you ever gone next level and actually brought a bottle of ketchup with you to put in your purse?
Okay, I've never done the bottle, but I have done the ketchup packets. Okay. I'll usually go next door and find a place nearby, get some ketchup packets, and put it on my rice bowl.
Okay. Now, when you become a dietitian, would you ever recommend this to a client to potentially jazz up their rice with some ketchup? Or do you feel self-conscious about this choice?
Sometimes I feel self-conscious about going and just kind of stealing ketchup packets from a store nearby, but they all know that I do it. But yeah, I mean, I could recommend somebody to it. I always recommend my friends to trying it because it tastes great.
This is very interesting. Okay, we definitely had some mixed opinions and feedback on it. Katie, what do you think about this ketchup on rice phenomenon?
I'm having a hard time wrapping my mind around ketchup on Mexican food.
It's great. You should try it sometime.
What if you have?
Don't knock it till you try it.
So a lot of times, though, like I have rice with Italian dishes, like herbed and spiced rices. Would you put ketchup on that too?
I would eat the toppings off first, and then I would put ketchup on the rice.
Y'all, oh my goodness. John, you probably need to come back because we could definitely get really crazy with today's show. But this just kind of gives you an idea of what we'll be talking about today. We won't necessarily be talking about food quirks, but we will be talking about some things food related. Since my scope of practice is nutrition, we're going to go a little bit of a nutrition focus today, talking about food allergies. We have an awesome guest that is going to be coming by, and we have a lot of other guests lined up for the rest of the semester. We're certainly going to be having some folks from the Office of Student Care and Wellbeing come by. We're also going to be talking about your sleep hygiene. So we're going to keep things in check with all things health and fitness and just wellness related in general. And so we will be polling you guys in the coming weeks to see what other kind of topics that you guys want to hear about. I know that this is still that time frame as we get into this month of February where people are still dabbling with their New Year's resolutions. You know, we talked about that in our first show of the semester. And I think, you know, this could definitely be the time frame where people start to reevaluate and see if they are wanting to continue the current New Year's resolutions that they have. How about you guys? Did you guys make any kind of New Year's resolutions? Are y'all New Year's resolutions folks? Katie, Caitlin?
I think my New Year's resolution was really more to pick back up what I left off in December. I was doing really well with my workouts and then went home and just kind of laid around all month. So my New Year's resolution was to get back to my old year, I guess.
Okay. How about you, Katie? Or Caitlin, sorry.
It's fine. I don't usually make New Year's resolutions like right on January 1st, but throughout the year, things will just pop into my mind, and I don't really have a set date where I make a resolution. I just kind of evaluate every once in a while.
I like that. I think that we should all take, take some tips from that. And we'll be talking a little bit more about some of our habits for this semester, but looks like it's time to take a break. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John. Welcome back to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John. If you are just now joining us, you are probably noticing that it is just Sheena on air right now. Sadly, our friend John is sick. We are wishing him to get well soon so that he can join us back. But today we are going to be talking about all things food related. And specifically, we are going to be talking about food allergies. It's not the sexiest topic, but it is very important when we think about wellness overall. And I'm just so excited about the guest that we have today, Holly Groff. I'm going to have her on in just a second to tell us a little bit about what she does at the university. But before she comes on, I am going to say that I think that this woman is fabulous because I remember as a young nutrition student, she was the graduate assistant that taught me some very important knife skills so that I would not chop off my fingers trying to chop up an onion or carrots or a celery for doing a little mise en place. And she's just a great person. I think that she adds such value to the university with her expertise. And now that I have bragged on her so much, Holly, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Sheena. I have a lot to live up to now.
Well, I apologize for that. But Holly, tell us a little bit about what you do at the university. And I think I kind of alluded that you were also a student here as well.
I was absolutely a nutrition student here in the coordinator program and dietetics. And then I also got my master's here in restaurant hospitality management. And we met in Doster Cafe, which used to be a student-run cafe, for some of our practical experience. So,
oh, yes. Good times there. I was actually telling Katie and Caitlin earlier this week that one of the weeks during Doster Cafe, I was the manager, and that's when the health inspector came. And, of course, the manager gets to do the walkthrough with the health inspector, and the health inspector had slipped and fallen in the walk-in fridge the day that I was manager. Thankfully,
not the start you want to your health inspection.
Not necessarily. So that was my one and only time. But if I become a restaurant owner in the future, I'll know kind of what to expect with that walkthrough. But Holly, tell us a little bit about what your specific role is at the university.
Sure. The department I work with here at the university is the liaison with the contract food service provider. And my role has a whole variety of functions, but as a registered dietitian, part of those functions is working with students who need accommodations in the dining halls for their meal plans with food allergies and really any special dietary concern. So not just food allergies, but it could be irritable bowel syndrome or Crohn's disease or any number of things that anyone that needs a special diet, then they'd come to me.
No, and that is definitely good to know. And I would say just anecdotally from what I've been seeing in my office, I feel like I'm getting more and more students that come in for medical nutrition therapy related to food allergies. And, taking a look at the literature, Holly, have you seen there be an increase in food allergies from what's been in the literature? Or do you think that it's just more people are more comfortable talking about it?
There's definitely an increase. Studies are indicating, and here at the university, I've been here about 3 years now. So my position was actually added, and a portion of it was to help work with students who had special dietary needs because of the growth of food allergies. Unfortunately, there is a huge rise. About 15 million people have food allergies in the now, and about 1 in 13 children have food allergies. So if we think about under 18 children, and maybe there's about 30 in a classroom, it's not atypical now to have two students with a food allergy in a elementary, middle, high school classroom. In 2008, the CDC reported an 18% increase in food allergy among children between 97 and 2000. Then just 5 years later in 2013, they released another study that tracked from 1997 to 2011, and it increased 50%.
Oh my goodness.
So a massive increase in a really short amount of time there.
Yeah, no, that is certainly significant. And even outside of, working with the group of college students that I do, I know even just interacting with some of my friends that have children, they'll, of course, talk about how gone are the days of bringing cupcakes or any kind of special treats for birthday celebrations or anything else. And so much of it has to do with just being respectful of people's food allergies. I was also talking with Katie and Caitlin earlier about, I believe it's the Kiss kissing study that was done in 2006. Do you know if there has been any validity to that, just as far as really trying to get someone with a food allergy to have their partner stay away from the specific allergen if they're interacting
there
with each other?
There is some validity to that. In fact, one resource I go to a lot is FAIR, Food Allergy Research and Education. Their website's foodallergy.org, and they're just a terrific source for resources. And you can actually go and look at the kissing study on there, and they have some specific information, great, geared towards college students specifically. So they really walk you through all aspects of life and have some great information on there. And for example, one study did indicate that peanut residue can stay in a mouth for several hours. So there is some validity to that, absolutely.
No, that is good to know. So listeners, if you are all about some peanut butter, but your partner is allergic, please be careful with that. I think that's helpful for us to know. You know, we talk about it comically, but it is a serious issue because, you know, certainly people have some dangerous food allergies that we have to navigate. And Holly, since your time here working professionally alongside Bama Dining, do you feel like there has been a significant increase in students coming to UA because of the level of accommodation that we have for students?
We do absolutely get students that are saying that. Yes, absolutely.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And, you know, in just a little bit, we'll be talking more about the process for that. But I wanted to ask you, Holly, what is the most common allergen that you've noticed specifically for our campus?
Well, definitely gluten and wheat mm-hmm. is still the largest. But we really have quite a wide range. Mm-hmm. There are 8 foods that account for about 90% of all food allergic reactions: milk, eggs, peanuts, tree nuts, wheat, soy, fish, and shellfish. So that accounts for about 90% of all reactions. But we have 30-something different foods that students on campus are allergic to that I've worked with.
Yeah.
So really quite a wide variety. It can be anything that someone can be allergic to, really.
No, I can only imagine. Now, what is the largest number of allergens one student has had?
20, 30 something. I don't remember exactly now, but yes, it's some students, and it can change throughout the life cycle. So I've worked with students who've literally been working on testing and an elimination diet in their college career, which you can imagine as a college student, how many things you already have to think about and then be worried about, you know, trying to narrow down those allergens.
No, I can only imagine how overwhelming it is, especially with the wide variety of food that we offer on campus, which is such a great thing because we want students to be able to have access to as many different foods as possible. But I think just what we've been able to bring to the table as a campus in general in terms of education, I think is huge, and making people aware of the different resources that we have, of course, with your services, and then also just making sure that people know about that whenever they're coming in for recruitment and admission. Is that something that's heavily advertised to incoming students?
We certainly try to get that word out wherever we can. And also some of the advocacy groups like FAIR or Allergic Living just gave them some information. They do a great article every year where they compile who to contact and what offices, because it can vary from college to college as well. For example, here at the university, I work with students with their accommodations in the dining hall. They'd go to housing for any needed accommodations, and then any academic accommodations would be the Office of Disability Services.
Man, we are just killing it here at the university. I get so proud of just all of the different things that we do for our campus community members, and I'm looking forward to talking with Holly even more just about the process for getting accommodated, the other types of things that we see that are dining related when it comes to our food allergies. But it is time for us to take a break. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John, and we will catch you after the break. Welcome back. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John. And if you are just now joining us, we have been talking with Holly Groff, one of our professional staff members here at the university that helps students with accommodations regarding food allergies. And we've certainly talked about students having a wide variety of food allergies. And Holly, you were just saying someone had a number of allergens as high as like 20 to 30. Is that right?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. And, you know, kind of thinking about a diagnosis of a food allergy, how does one actually do that if they believe that they may be susceptible to something?
There's a number of tests that from starting with skin prick tests, but you can also get false negative results on that, or excuse me, false positive on that. So you'll also, honestly, scary. The best is an actual blind testing of it in under supervised medical practice. That sounds really scary. So a lot of people necessarily wouldn't go that route there. But you know, seeking out an allergy specialist there. And then they may also have you work through an elimination diet. And of course, with allergies, there's a variety of different allergic reactions. It could be hives, it could be swelling of a body part, lips, hands, mouth, something like that, all the way to the most severe anaphylaxis, which can actually cause you to stop breathing. So there's a variety of reactions. And even within an individual, we know our bodies, there's lots of things changing in our bodies all the time. And so the same person may not have the same reaction every time they ingest an allergen. So sometimes it can be a little bit challenging, and they can change throughout the life cycle.
Yeah, no, and I think that's good for us to know. And, you know, if we have someone that we are close with, whether we interact with them as a roommate or a family member, what kind of things can we do as an outsider to keep that person safe?
Be aware. Mm-hmm. I think awareness is always the best starting point there. And then also take it seriously. Sometimes people will think food allergies are a joke or it's not that serious, but take it seriously, particularly in the college setting, you know, of young adults. You never want to take a food allergy as a prank. You wouldn't want to try to feed someone that. It's not a joke. It's not a prank. It really can be a matter of life and death for people. So taking it seriously.
No, I think that is great feedback. And I can't remember if that PSA is still running, but I think I remember seeing something a few months ago, and it was about a young lady who had had a peanut reaction, and she didn't know that there was peanut butter in the brownies. And so it shows all her friends calling 911. And so again, I feel like food allergies aren't necessarily something that we hear about constantly, but it is so serious because food is something that is a necessity to us. You know, we've got to eat it all the time. And so, you know, as we see different changes, whether it's in the elementary school setting where, you know, people can't bring in unlabeled treats to a celebration, or even just going with high level accommodation at the college level, it's so important for us to be proactive with all of this. And, you know, one of the other things that I wanted to ask, Holly, as far as our campus dining services, is there a specific dining hall that one with a food allergy would need to go to, or would you say that all of our facilities are accommodating? Tell us a little bit about that process.
All of our facilities are able to accommodate. And actually, I'm going to jump back for just a second, because earlier Caitlin talked about one of her food quirks of eating ketchup on rice that she loved. So that's another really good example in the college environment, is sometimes people might try new things. So communicating, if you have that allergy, ketchup's probably not one of our, you know, higher allergens there, but you never know what might be prepared a little differently than mom used to prepare it, or what might new product you might try in the college environment. I made stuffed mushrooms with walnuts last week, and I was really careful when I took them to that party that I labeled them with walnuts, because I typically think of stuffed mushrooms, maybe cheese, meat, sausage, something like that, and I had them ground up. I certainly wouldn't want someone with a nut allergy to grab those stuffed mushrooms.
No, gosh, that is a good point. I definitely like to get adventurous with my cooking as well, and I'm not always, as a dietitian, sadly, I'm not always thinking in different social settings about that, because my husband and I, we tend to interact with the same people, but then I forget about there being a new person that may come that isn't necessarily forthcoming with sharing their food allergy. It may not have come up. So I think if anything else, that is just really helpful to remind all of us to be a little bit more mindful of that whenever we are going into a group setting and bringing some adventurous things. I feel like as dietitians, we all tend to be foodies anyways, or like to dabble in the kitchen. So it's kind of good to know about that. But, you know, when we think about a student coming onto campus and them visiting with their family and learning about the accommodation process, kind of walk us through that, Holly.
Absolutely. Students can eat in any of our dining halls, any of our three dining halls, Lakeside, Fresh Food, Burke Dining Hall. And so the first starting process is to fill out a special diet accommodation form. It's literally just a form that gives some information on the student, and then they submit that to me with our medical documentation. It's on our website, bamadining.ua.edu, under the food allergies tab. We try to keep that on a food allergies tab to make sure that if you Google food allergies, University of Alabama, you're going to find that very readily there. They'd submit that form to me, and the first thing we do there is get them in closer contact with the managers. So literally, the managers get a roster of students that turn in that form. It includes their picture from their action card, what their allergies are. If it's someone who has multiple allergies, like we've mentioned before, then I might even have some information on there about what they typically like for breakfast and lunch. If they're really not a picky eater, then we might say that. So we include that information. Then the students get the information of the managers with pictures as well. And if you're dining at any location on campus, the manager's pictures are up by the door as well. So if you're looking for someone to ask specific questions like that, look for those managers and they'll be able to help you out. But we put the students in closer contact with those managers. Our first line of accommodation is generally text ahead ordering for students that might need something prepared separately. So they get provided the manager's cell phone numbers, they send a group text shortly before they're on their way to the dining hall, and then the managers can prepare something separately for them. Most of the time, that's working with staple products that we already have in-house and maybe just preparing them slightly different or with a different ingredient, something like that. But we do also keep some specialty gluten-free products. We mentioned that's the largest number of students that we see. And so there's gluten-free pasta, gluten-free pizza dough, gluten-free breads and wraps, gluten-free brownies, gluten-free cheese sauce, gluten-free pancakes mix that we keep in the dining halls. And so they can, because those take a little while to prepare, obviously, and for example, we may have to prepare those in different equipment, a pasta cooker. That water is going to be, you're going to reheat pasta in that several batches throughout the day.
Right.
Well, gluten-free pasta needs to be cooked in separate water, obviously. So that takes a little bit longer to prepare those things. So that's really one of the main reasons for the text ahead ordering.
Yeah, no. Well, you know, in kind of thinking about that, you've talked about a lot of the staple products that you have that are already, you know, coming in gluten-free. Can a student that has not signed up for the accommodation process, could they go up to a station on the fly and ask for that, or is that discouraged?
They can request those. Really, it works best if they're going to be eating in the dining halls on a regular basis to go ahead and turn in their medical documentation with us, and let's get that communication so that we can really get that worked out with the manager's best. But they can always ask for that on the fly. Students visiting campus, I encourage them to let me know. That can be overwhelming, not a campus visit, certainly. So I encourage them to let me know, and then we can go ahead and have some things prearranged for them.
Yeah.
They can request those things and wait for those things in the dining hall, though.
Sure.
Absolutely.
And, you know, thinking about those campus visits, have you noticed that most new students coming onto campus, are they pretty savvy about their food allergy, or do you feel like mom and dad has kind of taken most of the navigation and it leaves them ill-prepared for coming onto campus, or do you feel like most incoming students have the knowledge that they need?
There's really a wide range there. Some are great with managing their own allergies, and I've literally worked with students that could not read a food label and identify their own allergens because a parent took care of it for them.
Yeah.
The ones who I think tend to be most successful start the process themselves. And are willing to come to the meetings and meet with me and contact me directly and work with the managers directly. Those are the ones who we tend to see most successful.
Okay, awesome. Well, so case in point there, be proactive, be knowledgeable about this. I have enjoyed this conversation so far, and we're going to take it to one more segment talking about food allergies, but it is time for another break. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John on 90.7 The Capstone. Are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John, and if you are just catching us, we are talking all about food allergies. Certainly a hot topic if you are one with an allergen or have a loved one that has an allergen. We've had some great conversation today with Holly Groff, who works as a dietitian on campus as a liaison to Bama Dining to help with the accommodation process. And Holly, I know right before the break we were talking a lot about the accommodations that students students can sign up for through our major dining halls. And I know during the break a little bit, we talked about some of the grab-and-go accommodations at some of the different C-stores on campus. Tell us a little bit about that.
Everything in the C-stores is going to be labeled for individual sale. So that allows students to be able to read the ingredients on that. At two locations on campus, they are the furthest from a dining hall. So we also accept meal plan swipes at the Presidential Village Rec Center and then also at Julia's in Tutt. And so you can, it's listed what you can grab in there, but you can get some of the sandwich, salad, fruit cups type things in those locations. Very popular options there.
No, that sounds very convenient. And I think you were saying something about, can people use their meal plan option to get a smoothie as well? Was that right?
Yes, absolutely. At the Fuel Smoothies in the Student Activity Center at Presidential Village, they can also use their VIP plan. You can get a smoothie with an enhancer, or your regular meal plan, you can get a smoothie without an enhancer there.
Okay, that is good to know. I think you might be talking me into getting into a faculty staff meal plan option.
Yes, definitely.
Just so that I can be able to do that. Is that popular among our faculty staff?
It is. It is. Okay. And it's definitely, you can always go to any dining hall, pay door price for those, but it's the most economical route to purchase a faculty staff meal plan. Purchasing a block of 50 meals actually puts it down to $7 a meal.
Oh, wow. That is very affordable. Mm-hmm. And I know, you know, we've talked so much about your interaction with students as it relates to food allergies, but have you ever found yourself, just by your expertise level, interacting with faculty staff on campus that have shared that they have a food allergy, or is it just for those that tend to eat within the dining hall?
We will get some that will ask. Most are excellent at already managing it. It's usually occasionally a new diagnosis, mm-hmm. or maybe a new need. Was actually working with a staff member yesterday on some working with them in the dining halls.
No, and that, you know, I think when it comes to that new diagnosis, you bring a great point, because I think a lot of times we think that these food allergies start really young in life, and that can certainly happen. But I know even just from working in my office and working one-on-one with our college students and our non-traditional college students, they may have those food allergies that happen later on in life. And has that been an interaction for you
as well? We have had some, and then as well as some, not necessarily food allergies, but some special dietary needs, such as gluten intolerance later in life, or even when someone needs a low sodium diet for a medical, recently diagnosed medical condition. Those can be big changes to really focus on that.
Sure. And, you know, thinking about that, when we think about that accommodation process, you know, certainly we look at the website and we think it's just for food allergies, but is there a number of students that may ask for accommodations related to some type of chronic condition like diabetes or even like the sodium restriction?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The largest that are not a food allergy or an intolerance would be students with IBS, Crohn's, but there's really a variety there, from other metabolic type disorders, PKU, mm-hmm. a variety. So it really can cover anything.
Right. No. Well, again, very good to know. And I think that, a lot of times students and just our general UA community, they're not aware of all the different services we provide, including this level of accommodation when it comes to thinking about food allergies and intolerances. And I think, Holly, you and I, we've had some previous conversations about you guys actually utilizing an accommodation committee. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely. Any student that turns in their accommodation form and paperwork, then we invite them. We've moved it to usually the week before classes start in the fall. Once dorms have opened, but before the classes actually start, when students are really settling in and finding their routines. And because that would be protected medical information, I can't share that information about other students, but some students like connect with students with other food allergies or, you know, the same food allergy as them. So it's just voluntary. If they want to come to this committee, it puts them all in the same room where they might be able to talk, exchange information. For example, this year there was one upperclassman that really kind of took the lead on mm-hmm. that. So that was really nice to see. And then we invite all of the managers as well so that they get to know the managers face to face. They can ask any specific questions. We had a few students that said, hey, I really like this or I don't like this or this worked well. And one thing, for example, that came out of the accommodation committee was fryers. Fryers are all shared on campus, and that's very typical in a commercial food service right. operation that you might fry a variety of different products in a fryer. So that eliminated students eating fried products that had a number of allergies from gluten intolerance sensitivity and celiac to maybe students that had a dairy allergy because of milk washes or an egg allergy because of those washes that might go on a breaded meat. Seafood allergies, things like that. So eliminated a lot of students eating those products, and students said, we really want French fries. Of course they do.
Of course,
everyone
of course.
Wants French fries,
yes, it's
right?
A staple.
So we looked at our equipment, and we really did not have the equipment to designate a fryer, except at Lakeside. We did have enough equipment there.
Uh-huh.
So we worked on the managers there. They cleaned that fryer. They started that process of only French fries, which are cut in-house here. So they have absolutely no coatings, no breadings, nothing on them. They started that it was a French fry only fryer. And they actually ran with it for an entire summer to train the staff on it.
Yeah.
That it was a French fry only fryer before we really announced it to everyone to make sure that we had that procedure down because we take it seriously there. But the designated French fry fryer is one of the things that came out of that accommodation committee.
That is awesome. And I think, you know, just being able to get the feedback from the students that are affected by this and them getting to see something come to fruition is really wonderful. And, you know, if anything else, I think sometimes students don't realize how spoiled they are with, you know, just the next level that we get in terms of service. And, you know, if you think about a student that's transitioning away from eating at the dining hall and then starting to live off campus and trying to navigate restaurants, what kind of tips would you give to the student with a food allergy that is now having to navigate independently at restaurants? Are there things that they should do? Should they feel comfortable asking their server about you know, food allergy accommodations?
Absolutely. Communication, just like we talked about with family members or roommates, you know, such a big thing in the college setting that communicating that is a big thing. You know, check their website beforehand. Unfortunately, you know, I'm not a great planner myself all of the time. Uh-huh. So to add that on to a college student, it can be tough. But, you know, planning ahead is the best thing that you can do. Check out, you know, what's available, what information for chain type restaurants is available there. And then absolutely don't be afraid to speak to that server or manager. And if it's something that a parent used to do for you, you know, it is a learning curve and it's a learning process, but it's so important. And it's your health. It's your life. So absolutely.
Yeah, no, you're totally correct. It's definitely your life. And I know sometimes we may feel like we are inconveniencing someone by asking for an accommodation, but it is so important because you're just trying to protect your health and safety. And it's really neat just to see the trend with restaurants being used to providing accommodations now. We certainly see it with a lot of menu labeling as well. And so I just appreciate the time that you spent with us on this wonderful Sunday afternoon. And what we are going to do is we're going to take another break, and I'm going to catch up a little bit more with Katie and Caitlin and ask about some more food quirks. I might share some of my own as we close out this Sunday afternoon, but you are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John, and we will catch you after the break. Welcome back. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John. And this afternoon, we have been talking about food allergies. Since John is away and sick, I took advantage of having a nutrition-specific topic today. But we just want to thank our guest again, Holly Groff, for coming and speaking with us. And if you've been with us throughout this afternoon's show, you may have heard my two interns, Katie and Caitlin, talking with me. And we were talking about different food quirks. Caitlin was sharing that she loves some ketchup on rice. And so I know I've picked on her a lot during this show, but now I kind of want to throw it over to Katie. We heard during the break, Katie, that you have some interesting things for breakfast, right?
I mean, I don't think this is a food quirk, Sheena. I think this is totally normal. I don't like to define my meals by the time I have them. So when I woke up this morning, I actually had chili for breakfast this morning and a sweet potato. And a lot of people think that's weird. I know I've been to some small groups in the morning where I bring my salad with me for breakfast, and a lot of people turn their noses up at that. But I don't think that's weird. I love some vegetables in the morning, and I don't think that breakfast has to be the same thing every day.
Hey, no, and I appreciate you sharing that. Even though I am all about some traditional breakfast food, I think that sometimes some people are not like that. And I always emphasize to my clients that breakfast is the most important meal of the day. So why not eat something that you love? It doesn't have to fit in the norm and the box of traditional breakfast items. And, you know, I was trying to think about my own personal food quirks, but I would say I just like really spicy things. And that's not necessarily anything that's too quirky, but I do get picky if it is so spicy I can no longer taste what I'm eating. That's probably my biggest pet peeve. And I know when I go to Indian restaurants and then I tell them I want it extra spicy, they're like, okay, do you want it Indian spicy, like for real spicy? And I'm like, I want to actually be able to taste what I'm eating. And so I think it's important to kind of ask for that whenever I'm talking about different spice levels of things. But do you guys like spicy food? Caitlin, do you like spicy food?
I am not a spicy food person. I like everything very plain, and even from when I was a kid, I've been a very picky eater, so okay. I'm not about the spicy food.
Yeah, and ketchup is there's nothing scandalous or spicy about ketchup. So
it's mostly sugar.
Yeah, so it works out perfectly. Now, Katie, do you like spicy
food? I love spicy food. Okay. That's definitely my favorite, but now, are you the type of person that brings your own hot sauce?
I have not. I have seen the little sriracha keychain things that you can do. I've not done that yet. But having an Asian background, I feel like that might be something that I might start to do. I'm glad that my husband likes some spicy food too. I'm trying to think, you know, in terms of other food quirks, there's not too much craziness that goes on in our household. You know, most people would think as a dietitian that you have to eat healthy all the time, but I'm all about some desserts and some pizza, everything in moderation. I am a firm believer in eating for both health and pleasure. And man, I can get down on some pizza and ice cream for sure. They don't have to be spicy though. So that's definitely the good thing about it. And I'm sure John is listening to us while he's sick in bed being like, oh my goodness, what happened to the show today? They are talking about spicy food, ketchup on rice, salads for breakfast. I don't think John would probably have a salad for breakfast. He's always describes himself as a meat and potatoes kind of person. But before we get any more crazy with the rest of this afternoon, we just want to thank you guys so much for listening. Again, we've got a great show lineup for the rest of the semester. Had a great conversation today about food allergies, and we will be kicking it up a notch with some additional conversations about the health topics that you are interested in. But enjoy your Sunday afternoon, and we will catch you next time. This is Fit to be Tied with Sheena and John on 90.7 The Capstone.